It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Won't it, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
A jolt from my electrodes. They did a monster mash.
Monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program.
When it comes to awesomely uncomfortable moments in the studio, it was when the Celtics cheerleaders were here. And I don't even think it was anywhere near Halloween that we did that. And we said, hey, you know what, Halloween, maybe you can play on the Jumbotron. You know, you guys do a bunch of Halloween themed stuff. Maybe you guys could just kind of dance spooky behind.
Well, that's when
he sings the monster.
That's when we knew Wallach was into Dr. Demento.
Yeah, that's when novelty songs was right in his wheelhouse.
I just like with Dracula and his son.
And his son.
That's right. The worst line ever. By the way, coming in here, I already officially hate the Red Sox parade.
Oh, it's already already like block up the streets.
No, no, Rich, this is a great story.
Well, it's not.
I think it's a good story,
but yeah, it took me about 20 minutes longer to get into work because there were cops on every corner around here letting duck boats in. So they obviously store the duck because I see duck boats going home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they obviously store the duck boats somewhere around here.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
And then they were sending them into the city.
Oh,
and there were cops at all these intersections. And I'm like, oh, my God, now you got, I go, you know, it's 5-something in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you blocking traffic to get these stupid duck boats in?
It's funny. It's like along the parade route, this happened with the Patriots one that happened last time. And I guess that started around 11 o'clock, too, right? Like, I think they all start, like, pretty much at that same time. So my kids kind of go to school in that area, and apparently it was tough for my wife to cross the street at 7:30 in the morning on the parade route. Like, they have it so blocked off that even if you're just trying to get around town, that it's almost ridiculously hard to just cross, like, Tremont Street or Boylston Street or anything that's on that path.
It's like the marathon.
It is like the marathon.
Yeah, it's like the marathon when in Newton, you can't cross Commonwealth Avenue.
But this is like 3 or 4 hours before the parade even starts. They're not messing around.
Security. You're going to have a million people in town? Security. Makes all the sense in the world. Yeah,
I just don't understand why they have to let duck boats, like, really think about it. I mean, they have 6 hours.
That's a better point.
Like, why are you just sitting there letting duck boats?
How about,
through?
I'll tell you why.
Release
because
the duck boats
in
at 10.
Less than an hour, it is going to be gridlock traffic. You can't move anywhere. That's why. They're saying, let's just get it there, because if we don't do it now, then it's going to take us 2 hours to get there.
Oh, no. Let them leave. No question about it.
Oh, I see. Just stay off your route to work.
No. Don't have the police. Like, you're not a funeral procession. You're not a...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
An emergency.
Nah. Right. You didn't need to make it like the president was in town.
Hey, listen. Have every duck boat on the planet riding around. That's your prerogative. Don't have the police out there stopping people, honest citizens trying to go to work.
That's a good point. I don't know why they had to do that.
Plus, I got in my car with my original pants on and the button came off because I'm fat. So I had to do that.
This morning's been difficult.
Yeah. It's been a difficult morning. And then I'm like, I just want to get to work.
Right.
And my phone takes me on a different route every time. And then it like sucks up half the battery getting here. So, I was displeased with what was going on.
I saw some of the street teamers early this morning getting ready to get out there. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, that's like insanely early. But then I thought about it. Like, they need to be in, like, prime positions during the thing. This would be the only time to get there. Like, if you absolutely want to pick your spot, if you don't leave within the next, like, 5-10 minutes, you're probably not going to get it. That's the way it always is. And I know that apparently the corner that I'm going to be at, Zolak was telling me this. So I'm going to be at the Globe today, which they moved over to where the Rattlesnake was, which is between Berkeley and Arlington, right there at that corner where they set the stage, where Dan Roach is probably going to be standing and doing the play-by-play, and every other network is going to be out there. That, I guess, is the biggest crowd, the most crowded area of all the spots. So that should be fun. A little bit of chaos. I got to leave here at 10 and be there by 11.
Yeah, good luck with that. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, what a glorious morning for Boston, guys. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
I went to the wrong rally in 2004, and it was definitely one of the best days of my life. Got to be there right at the front of the parade route, seeing all the players, seeing the trophy right in front of me. It was a great day, but I tell you, it wasn't as good of a day as Sarge when he was in high school and he got the Girl Scout cookie order.
You got girls what?
You got the Girl Scout cookie.
Uh-huh. You
made a lot of money off of Sarge, you see.
Girl Scout, yes.
Lots of cookies going to Sarge.
Okay, Devin, go ahead. Oh, okay, I see. Devin, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, happy parade day from here in Los Angeles. I was lucky enough to get a ticket to game 3 and 4, so I got some Red Sox on my mind. I was wondering, Kimbrel's a free agent at the end of this year, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so with Nathan Eovaldi being a free agent, too, I was wondering if you guys would think of maybe signing him as, like, a potential bullpen guy, maybe a closer. I mean, you know, he's got to be better at closing baseball games than Sarge is at closing our radio programs.
Uh-huh.
I think we 606. I think 604.
Is that the new record?
No, 604. I think we got one, like, right at the beginning of the show one time.
Well, in fairness,
that's on
Fred
us.
Takes it. That's the thing. Yeah, in fairness, yeah, I was bitching, and then and there were people on hold.
Delayed the Sarge call.
You know what we need? If you really want to be the winner, you got to get in on Amy Lawrence's show.
Oh, that's true. 557.
Like, that's...
How will we ever know that they got on, though?
The only problem is, I don't think her last hour is live.
I think it is.
I think it is live.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, then, hey, you know, listen, I'm not telling you to do that.
No, that was JT the Brick. JT the Brick did the last
one. Okay, all right. But all I would say that it would definitely be entertaining if I heard that.
Well, Trainwreck Scott is a comedian. Hello, Trainwreck
Scott.
Hey,
what's up?
Hey, what's up, Trainwreck Scott?
Hey, what are you guys doing? Hey, yesterday you guys gave me a solid minute of airtime, and I didn't mention one sponsor. So I was up all night trying to redeem myself to make up a little bit of a skit for the sponsors that sponsor the show, which is the best show in the morning.
Okay.
Would it be okay with you, Fred, if I went off?
Sure.
Hey! Oh, my gosh! It's 128 again! I'm glad I got my tires at 98.5, the Sports Hub Town Fair tires. Oh, they rotate the stove to the summer and back to the snow. But guess what? We're not moving. We're sitting here. We're neighbors. We all love each other. Everybody get along. Oh, good Lord, Fred, I was coming home yesterday. I'm glad I got our better insurance. I'm going for it.
Sandman, where is he?
Where am I?
No, I'm here.
Where are you, Trainwreck Scott?
I'm enjoying you.
I'm not in my car right now, Fred. It's a joke.
Oh, good Lord.
I didn't say anything. Hey, well, train wreck, Scott, I didn't, I'm not the one who said anything.
Did you hang up? Did he hang up on you?
No, I hung up.
Oh, okay.
But there was, because he was accusing me falsely of false things.
Giving a traffic report from his bedroom. It's clear he's not in
his
car.
No, he was trying to incorporate the sponsors of the show.
Yeah, but then you know right. He's done when he's going, hey, what are you doing? He always asks us, what are you guys doing?
It's like Rodney Dangerfield. He's doing a little crowd work before he gets into the material.
Right.
I mean, you interrupted him.
You know, at the end, when he's out of jokes, and that's how ugly she was. You know, that's it. It's all.
Yeah, it was Dracula and his son.
And his son.
That's right.
So a lot of people go into this parade. People want to go to the parade. They're very excited about it. If you stay home, one of these channels has got our commercial.
That would be CVB, right?
Channel 5.
Yeah, yep. Channel 5.
Yep. Channel 5 has got our commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So you stay home, you watch that commercial, and you'll enjoy yourself that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand parades, but God bless you.
I found out yesterday, I got a call from one of the sales guys, that apparently I'm going to have a special guest with me at the Globe.
Sarge?
No, not Sarge. Performing live is...
I'm a Red Sox fan.
No way!
Yeah.
That's not true.
You
made that up. I'm not kidding you.
Come on.
I got a text. It was like, I got Mudflap Junior Jones or whatever this guy is.
Well, I don't believe that they got him at all.
No way.
They got him from... I heard he was trying...
He was the bar up the street.
He was playing one of the Scandinavian countries.
So he's going to be playing at the Globe this song over and over and over again, which...
Oh, I'm sure he has a very deep reservoir of songs.
Anyway, I have to give it to the sales guy. He was being very ambitious yesterday when he called me and told me that he had this or texted me. I was like, that's pretty funny. And then he goes, hey, can we get Mark Jamelli down there?
No.
And I said, I said, no. He's going to have a coming out party, and it's going to be something big.
I don't want to do something
special for him. I'm like, I don't think this is the place for it. This is not the place.
Does he know, this idiot, that there's only so much? Why would you do anything?
Because he knows. Here's his thinking, and I don't blame him. And matter of fact, it's as a sales guy, you want someone to think this way. This is huge. People love Mark Jamelli. What's going to get people to come out to come meet the meatball in Manhattan?
Why would you waste it during a parade?
See, that you're thinking radio guy. He's a sales guy.
I'm thinking if I already have, then create a different promotion around it. See, I already have the stupid whole crowd there. You're not going to have any problem getting in there. I mean, just people who have to take dumps alone. You're going to have the whole place full.
Right. It's going to be slam-packed. Right.
They've got in 7,000 plugs already this morning. So Rich will be out at the Globe. They're in the middle of the whole parade thing. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about?
Oh, well, there was some sports last night, including the NFL deadline comes and goes. The Patriots didn't do much.
Very surprising to me.
Yep, but some big moves nonetheless. And Kyrie... Apparently, all he had to do was shave his head, and he got his basketball game back.
All right, we'll have all that for you in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Head into Dunkin' today and sink your teeth into some delicious Halloween donuts available for a limited time only. These donuts are scary good.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently all Kyrie needed was a haircut.
Kyrie, this is a deep one.
Oh, get off my toes, somebody. Damn, Kyrie. Oh.
Kyrie went 4-for-24 from three to start the year. He's 4-for-6 tonight, and the Celtics have their largest lead. Timeout, Dwayne Casey.
Get off my toes, somebody.
Yep.
Ooh.
That's right.
Well, after dragging for the entire beginning of the season, Kyrie Irving, apparently someone got off his toe and he decided to shave the fro, and now all of a sudden he is back. Irving puts
get
up
off
his...
the toe and shave the fro.
It's the do damage. That's right. For
right.
The Celtics. Get off
is.
The toe and shave the fro.
I had asked Rich off air why they were saying do damage.
Yeah, it was like every team in the postseason had to come up with some sort of phrase. And I thought do damage wasn't a bad one. If you're going to do one, that's
I don't think it's bad either. I just was curious about the origins of such.
And now it's damage done. Well, Irving put up a season-high 31 points as the Celtics held off the Pistons 108-105 last night. Before the Pistons ran to the Celtics, they were undefeated. They still look like a good team, at least last night they did. And now the Celtics have beaten them in back-to-back games, thanks mostly to old favorites getting their shot back. And one player that also seemed to have woken up was this guy.
Kyrie, right-hand dribble, push past Jaylen Brown, right side, three, got it. Too many weapons.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. The little man, you know, when he put his fingers in the dice and it kept being holes and it kept being holes, what did he finally do? Where's all this damn water going? This is what he was saying.
11-5 run here. But the Celtics are up by 7 with a minute 6 remaining, 101.
And Grandy just like, I'm not even going to comment.
So I understood the original point.
Yeah.
Is that you put your finger in the hole and then so another
many,
hole.
You keep getting attacked. Right. Yeah,
and that there's right. so many good players on the Celtics that you can't stop them.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But then the idea that you would have to follow that up with an explanation of how the water starts coming out is odd.
Yeah.
Should have. Just maybe left it about 30 seconds before he went on.
You know, it's like you finger in the place and the stuff. Oh, my toe. Get off my toe. Well, whatever was bugging Jaylen Brown, the Pistons were the cure. Two nights in a row, Jaylen has once again looked like Jaylen. He last night had 14 points in 32 minutes. Marcus Morris has just been awesome. I mean, if he continues this, I mean, how many people on this team have the potential of being sixth man of the year? Think about it. You got Marcus Morris. Rozier's obviously always going to be in the conversation. But, I mean, just the consistency out of Marcus Morris has been one of the best surprises of this season.
Well, the other thing about the Celtics team is you're going to look at numbers at the end of the season, and only Kyrie's numbers are going to pop off the page at you. He'll get his 20, 25 points a game. But every night, and you heard Grandy say it, too many weapons, you know, Marcus Morris has been really solid the first couple of weeks of the season, but there's going to be a two-week stretch where he disappears, and then you're right, then it'll be Terry Rozier or whoever else off the bench. I mean, that's the way the team is built. And Jason Tatum has taken a couple of steps back the last couple of games. Remember, we said in New York, it was his team. You know, clear a side of the floor, let Jason Tatum do his thing, and while Tatum appeared at times during the game last night, he stepped back, and it was Kyrie, and Gordon Hayward looked good early.
Well, the truth of the matter is that if Jason Tatum is, like, the reason you're winning, usually the team's not playing that well. Have you noticed that? It's like usually they are not playing very good basketball when Tatum says, I got to take over.
Well, in New York, he took over, and they won. I mean, he had 22 points and 14
But that was once
that
again
night.
Against New York. That wasn't pretty basketball as well.
No, but an example of you say if they're taking over, they're not playing well. They played well that night.
I'm saying as team, like a team basketball. Like there'll be certain players. Like last night, it seemed fairly even, which is the way you want it, except for that fourth quarter where there was that drought of, what, 5 minutes went by where they didn't make a field goal?
Yeah.
But before that, you know, they were distributing the ball. I mean, it was you didn't know, as he said, you didn't know who you should cover because everyone was deadly last night.
Yeah, they got 8 or 9 guys that can score 20 on any given night.
But the true story from last night would be Kyrie. And that's why he got the on-court interview with Abby Chin after the game that ended rather strangely.
With the hair, are you feeling a little sleeker?
Maybe. Shout out to my man Tommy Heisen, though. Real talk, he got me in shape.
Thank you, Kyrie.
Okay, I remember looking at the TV and saying, what the hell is he talking about? He got you in shape. Did Tommy call Kyrie fat at some point?
I didn't hear that.
The answer is,
assume yes.
The answer is, of course he did.
Yeah.
Here's Tommy Heinsohn from the other night trying to explain why Kyrie hadn't looked like himself.
I think he's maybe a little out of shape. To me, it looks like he's a little overweight. And his timing, his quickness, he's maybe like an instant slower than he's been.
It's actually Kyle Draper playing the keyboard in the background.
Yes,
as a matter of fact.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So and there's another comment I guess he made the night before that, or the game before that, rather, where he said he looked at least 5 pounds over, you know, over what he used to be. And so Tommy was the impetus, I guess, for Kyrie going off. He was asked about his comment to Tommy Heinsohn, and he kind of elaborated.
Caught wind of it probably like a week ago, and it was bothering me because it was the most honest thing that anyone had said about the way I was playing, because I literally had to try to match a level that I had been playing at last year, but also become better. So how do you do that is, you know, I had to really put an emphasis on my body and how I was taking care of my mind. That was one of the realest things that I could have heard.
Revenge bod.
I'll show you, Tommy. Yeah. And by the way, there is something kind of awesome about watching Tommy Heinsohn sit in his chair in the studio, leaning sideways and saying he's getting kind of fat.
He's had two porterhouse steaks. Yeah. He's sitting in like a whole banana cream pie.
It's pretty great to be quite honest. Just got to lean to the left. Yeah, he's getting kind of fat. Well, here's Kyrie further expanding.
You said revenge bond. Okay, which talk show is that where they bring the boyfriends back to show the girls that dumped them in high school?
Everyone.
How awesome they look, like Jenny Jones or whatever it was.
Any show that airs during the day.
Yeah.
Right. That are directed towards me.
So here's Kyrie further expanding on the situation.
Tommy Heisen, you can't do any wrong. In his eyes, if you're a Celtic, you can't do any wrong. You know, and I appreciate that. And that was, it was the truth. You know, and I had to get in better shape, and I had to, you know, become more dedicated to what I have been doing, but more emphasis. So, you know, I took that. I was on the bike the next morning, you know, versus climber. I was doing everything possible to make sure I prepared my body for what's to come for the rest of the season. So it's a long season. Just wanted to get prepared, but I shouted him out because it's the truth. I needed it.
That was good to see. I mean, you knew it was going to come back eventually, but there is that little thing inside you. It's like, man, it's been a while. Kind of looking forward to Kyrie actually getting to the basket and scoring a little bit. It's been, I mean, there were a couple games where he was hesitant. He was passing the ball when he had an open shot. And listen, if it took Tommy Heinsohn to piss him off, God bless him. So,
like, how long ago did Heinsohn say he was fat?
He said it was about a week ago.
So in the course of that week? He somehow managed to.
Yep,
that's
right.
Shape.
Yep,
mm-hmm. He did it.
Found his dribble. Found his shot.
Shaved his hair.
Shaved his hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. More aerodynamically sound, so a lot quicker.
I don't understand in the course of a week how you can improve your condition.
These are finely tuned athletes, Fred.
I think it was a magic feather type situation, Fred. I think it was just like something that wasn't. It's not really the weight that made him play harder. I think he just was like, "I'll show you."
Right. Until he showed Tommy Heinsohn, his boss.
But he's right.
How the hell does he even hear that?
Well, he said somebody told him. I mean, listen, it's the station who runs the Celtics.
No, I understand that.
Fans of Kyrie and friends of Kyrie are probably watching it. They said, dude, he called you fat.
And so, then he went back and listened to it and got...
and he put on, you know, Eminem, Lose Yourself, and next thing you know, he's running with a trash bag around his body, around the school, trying to make weight for the wrestling team. Well, tomorrow night's a big one. The Celtics host the undefeated Milwaukee Bucks. However, they may be without the best player in the East, Giannis Antetokounmpo, because he is in concussion protocol. But either way, tip off tomorrow night right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And, John, you were telling me something kind of funny. You know, throughout the NBA, what's going on as far as, like, scoring is absolutely absurd. I mean, the Golden State Warriors are... there was an argument yesterday as to whether or not this Golden State team is the best team ever assembled in basketball history. And we're talking even against some of those Michael Jordan teams. Is this the best team ever assembled? And when you see the kind of numbers they're putting up now and just how they're clicking on all cylinders, as they always have been, but now it's almost to an absurd level.
Well, those Jordan teams had two Hall of Famers on them. So if you look at Golden State, they probably have three.
Yeah, I would say, well, definitely Durant and Steph Curry.
Yep.
And maybe Draymond. I would say probably Draymond's going to get into. Yeah.
And so right there.
DeMarcus Cousins, it depends.
No, I mean,
he's got to keep putting up good numbers, obviously.
No, I don't think there's any way he gets in the Hall of Fame. But regardless, my point is that they have three. And then if you look at the depth of that team.
Yeah. I mean, strong. Other guys that won't make the Hall of Fame but are pretty damn good.
Well, but what you were saying, John, to me off the air is just, and I didn't predict this bad.
Right.
But I've always said that there were two players in the NBA, and if you have them on your team, you're never going to win a championship.
Yeah.
And those two players are Dwight Howard and...
Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much goes without saying.
Carmelo Anthony. Houston Rockets came within one win of going to the NBA Finals last year. They are 1-5 to start the year with Carmelo Anthony. And Carmelo played 31 minutes last night. Zero assists.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the last two games, zero assists. He's played a total of almost 70 minutes. No assists in his last two games.
I don't understand putting him on any kind of team. All right, we'll be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
Well, not only we get to the NFL stuff, but the Bruins looked damn good last night. As a matter of fact, how many times have we said the first line did it again and that Halak looked great?
Yeah, the goaltending looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, that's a decision that needs to be made now. And they're showing the duck boats on television. I'm telling you.
I just got a text from a buddy of mine on his way into work. He is at Huntington Avenue at the Museum of Fine Arts. Stopped.
Yep.
While the duck boats cross.
I don't know why you're blocking traffic for the duck boats.
That is strange,
Huntington
man.
Avenue. I was right around there, too. Yeah.
Huntington Avenue, right near MFA, stopped dead while the cop waves the duck boats through.
Right. that's exactly. It happened
to me. I don't
need
to go to work. I can see Boston right in front of me, but I don't need to get there. I'm just going to stop and wait.
Why? 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 Before, I mean, dude, they don't leave until 11. Like, how, dude, send them out at 5. That's great. God bless everyone.
Yeah.
Why do they have to get to where they're going right now?
It's only 4.5 hours until the parade starts.
Oh, my God. Stop bothering everyone. Now I hate the parade. Yep. Oh, Fred, you hate everything. No, the parade's fine. It's good. There'll be, no one around where I live. They'll all be at the parade. It's fantastic. But then you start inconveniencing me at 5-something in the morning. Already the stupid button popped off my pants and I had to go back in. Yeah. I'm on a tight schedule.
Just, literally.
That's right. I have to, you know, I have to plan out what I'm going to get here because I take as much time as humanly possible. All right. So we'll be back with that Bruin stuff.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Oh, oh, I'm dead. Oh, 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 morbidly obese. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a $100 gift card to the Under Armour Brand House at the Pru. Grab your custom championship t-shirts and gear now. Under Armour makes you better.
The first line was great. Halak played his ass off. How many times have we said that this season?
Over the line, here's Marchand to the far circle, pulled around a check, trying to go wrap around. He scores! Whoa. Brad Marchand muscled free from a check in the far circle, darted back in the net, darling out of position, and Marchand shook off a check and dumped it inside the near post.
All right.
3-2 Bruins.
That was, I saw that on TV, and I wasn't that excited.
It
was
aggressive, fairly aggressive call.
Well, here we are in October. We didn't exactly win the cup there.
Well, Marchand scored twice. Maybe if you do it twice, you get. I hate to hear if it was a hat trick.
1 point out of first place, guys. Come on.
No, listen, not knocking what they've been able to
do. 1 point out of first place.
And, you know, points in October mean as much as points in April.
Damn, without a doubt.
Or March.
So the Bruins came from behind atop the Hurricanes 3-2 last night. Bergeron, as always, doing the work. He assisted on both of Marchand's goals. And then on top of that, you have one guy who is also having a hell of a season.
Right wing over the line now, Bergeron. Flip side slot, Krug into the left circle. Left of the net, Pastrnak shoots. They score! Pastrnak from a deep angle, almost hugging the goal line, about 15 feet to the left of the net. Rattled a one-timer by Scott Darling. That'll be a power play goal, and the Bruins have tied the Canes at one.
You scored that goal right there? That would be a...
Pasta, of course.
How many goals does he have in
tied for the NHL lead with 11.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it doesn't look like they're slowing down anytime soon. And then there's a guy who is making it tough to not start, considering him as your premier starter in net.
Right circle, it's fired, and Halak flashed the leather and gloved it with the left hand as Williams tried to pick the far side.
Okay, so he had 42 saves against the most aggressive shooting team statistically in the league. Halak did it once again.
Yeah, he's your starting goaltender.
He's number one in the NHL in goals against, number two in the NHL in save percentage.
Yeah, he's sure. He's there's not a question about it. If there's a question, then it's a stupid answer. If you say anything but Halak, I mean, he's the starting goaltender of this team. There's no doubt about it. I don't know what's going through Rask's mind. I've heard he's distracted, but Halak is your starting goaltender.
Well, listen, good competition has always seemed to help Tuukka Rask.
Well, it's not. I was at that game Saturday night. He was terrible.
This is a little different. Competition from Anton Khudobin is different than competition from this guy.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, Halak's your starting goaltender.
Yeah. And Fred, you called it early, Fred. I got to give you credit for that. I thought this would just be a passing thing because there was a reason why he was available to be signed for under $3 million this year. But, damn, it's hard to imagine him playing better than how he has here early going.
And I'm wondering once and for all if there is a chance that you could get rid of Rask. I don't think there is,
Next year it becomes easier, but this year, no. With the contract the way it is. Maybe next year.
Does he go, because he has 2 years left next
Instead
year?
It's three. I think 2 for 14 is different than 3 for 21.
Right. Fair enough. But, I mean, you can't, and then they have all this time off. I mean, Halak's got to start the next game.
Absolutely earned the start in Nashville after last night.
I mean, Cassidy hasn't, he doesn't seem shy to make changes.
As a matter of fact, on top of that, the way Cassidy talks about Halak, you can tell that this is where he wants to go. So here he is last night speaking of Halak and maybe some of the problems he had at the beginning.
Yeah, early on we weren't good in front of him. We generally have been, exception of opening night. We got away from it a bit there. But he's been good for us every night.
Yeah, so once again, even with the 2 goals he let in, he said, well, we weren't very good in front of him, taking the blame off of Halak. And it sounds like that's the way he wants to go. So here's Brad Marchand talking about his wraparound goal yesterday. And I guess Nesson left Brick's mic on. That's what I'm hearing here.
Started with Berge having a good stick and winning the battle in the D zone. And I wanted to shoot it originally, but the guy was all over me. I didn't really have an opportunity. When I saw him kind of already locked in on the shot, figured I had enough speed to get around him. Luckily, he went in.
Would you like a slice of cheesecake? Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact.
Oh, young man, sure.
That was Cedric Maxwell. You just hear him eating.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Just go, Timmy.
He's the chili guy all of a sudden.
He is.
Yeah.
Timmy.
Do you remember my name?
Raymond.
What? Yeah, Jay.
There's a chili guy soundboard that we've been looking at a lot.
Well, here's Torrey Krug on needing to take a breather in his first game back.
Yeah, I was taking short shifts out there, so I kind of gave Z an extra couple minutes. You know, he bailed me out a few times by taking those and going with him, but he can do that stuff. And Johnny obviously did a great job of covering me up when I did make mistakes, and you know, it was fun to be back in the lineup.
Okay, I don't think we have it yet, because I just gave it to Mike a couple minutes ago, but you were mentioning that the Bruins are going to be playing Nashville.
Yep.
You should have seen what they did last night. So I guess that the I think the Golden Knights were in Nashville, and Nashville did a parody of the Golden Knights Open, and it was awesome. Oh, hang on. We have it? Okay. So as you know, the Golden Knights during the playoffs had this way over the top presentation where there was like a knight that came on stage, and then there was this like sword fight and all these people, you know, and this music and pageantry and stuff. So last night, all the lights go down in Nashville and one spotlight hits this knight with a sword that is in a stone, and he starts making the speech. Meanwhile, the predator, like the cat that they have, came sneaking up behind him. He comes down from a giant rope. Do you have the clip? Because I can't find it here. And he comes up creeping up behind him and ends up smashing him over the head with a guitar. But do you have the clip? Do you have it there? All right. Here it is. Here it is.
Okay.
I've come to interrupt this pathetic pregame show with a little taste of Vegas, with all of its splendor and all. Once I remove Excalibur from the stone, your pathetic little hockey team is doomed. You see, only the best of the Western Conference can pull the sword from the stone. So if you doubt your courage, then watch no more, come no further, for certain defeat.
And then he gets smashed over the head, bringing a little bit of Vegas.
See, that's what it said. That entire time when that guy was talking, I was thinking about you talking about Gandalf the Grey.
Oh, I mean, that
sounded exactly like you.
It's such an easy thing to parody, and it's something that only Vegas could do, and it was so funny watching Vegas go against the Capitals, where you had this huge over-the-top presentation, and then in Washington, they just rolled out Pat Sajak to ramble for 10 minutes.
Don't forget Linda Carter.
Sajak also very prominent during the World Series.
He likes texting during the game.
Nashville, by the way, raising banners. I believe they raised more than one.
For what?
At the beginning of the season.
Oh, for like their...
They didn't make the finals last year. They didn't make the conference finals last year.
I will find that out. I will.
I think they lost to Winnipeg.
Did they do the president? Did they win the President's Cup last year?
I believe they raised, I know, two banners.
You can't do that. That's gross. That's cult stuff. That's AFC finalist stuff.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
I will find that. If there was a search option here, there is. Okay. So, Rich, when we come back, I not only will have that thing that you need so much, but what else?
All right, we'll finally get to the NFL moves from yesterday. A couple of shockers and also some quick Red Sox news as well.
All right, we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gotta
get rid of this.
I'm Shannon Hoon. I'll be gone soon.
On Hallows
Eve.
All Hallows Eve.
Call number 10 right now, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll win a $100 Under Armour gift card for the UA brand House at the Brew. Boston has won again, and the Under Armour brand houses all your MLB Under Armour World Series Championship t-shirts in gear. Everything at Under Armour makes you better, and I have done my research, and I have found out the Predators raised 3 banners.
Oh boy!
Opening night, they did have the President's Trophy. They were the Central Division champions.
Oh my God!
And they were the regular season Western Conference champions.
Look at that douchey picture of them standing on the ice in a ceremony with the 3 banners behind them and this grand raising of 3 banners that mean absolutely nothing.
I like it. I love it. I want some more hockey.
It is embarrassing. I mean, it seems to go with how bad that song is. That is embarrassing. Yeah. At what point does nobody like say to them, guys, this is a bad look. This makes you look like a C-level organization. And the Predators have had, obviously, a ton of success without winning anything.
On top of
that, they sell out. They don't need stupid crap like this to make themselves feel good. But my God, and they're posing in front of it? Oh, the team's all lined up in front of these banners that mean nothing.
Well, President's Trophy, fine.
Yeah, why would you? Why Western Division? Season?
Dude, these are massive banners.
Western Conference champions. Regular season Western Conference champions.
If you're the President's Trophy winner, isn't that Western Conference champion?
Regular season Western Conference champions.
After, if you won the President's Trophy, if you know hockey at all, that Western Conference thing doesn't mean anything.
I think that you just exposed.
Oh, my God.
What do they throw? Rats? What's the thing that they throw, or is it?
Oh, catfish. They throw catfish onto the ice. Yeah.
That
was a middle finger to all the people from Detroit who moved to Tennessee to make cars down there. And because so many Detroit fans were showing up and throwing the octopi on the ice, that as an FU, they brought catfish. Whatever. That's whatever you think about that. Okay. This is the most embarrassing.
Catfish is pretty embarrassing.
This is way more embarrassing. At least the catfish thing's kind of funny because, like, how the hell they get a catfish?
There's kind of a motivation behind it. It's dumb and misguided, but there was a motivation behind it. Well, this whole banner thing is ridiculous.
D-list stuff right here.
I'm not a fan of that picture.
They're posing in front of it, too, for a moment.
Catfish.
Yeah. Remember that Nashville hype video when they made the Cup Finals? Remember that with the claws?
Yeah.
But, and the techno?
Well, was that made by the Predators?
That was a team-sanctioned thing.
Well, that sucks, too. That's jaguaring. That is like D-level stuff.
Yeah, right there. That's the organization. They can't just let it be.
That is not good. Well, one team that did let it be, if that's as good transition as I can get out of that.
I love that.
Thank you, Chachi.
Let it be. Mm-hmm. Come on now. Come on, you stupid day-old.
The Patriots.
Let it be, you stupid piece of garbage.
They did not do anything at the trade deadline, despite it being an extremely busy one. Now, some teams that did make a move were the Texans. I kind of understand this one. They lost Will Fuller last week, and so they said, you know what? We'll get Demaryius Thomas. I know you hate Demaryius Thomas, John, but for the 4th-round pick, it doesn't seem like the worst move ever.
That's the guy I want in a playoff game on the other side of the field when the ball goes up at a crowd in the end zone.
No, you're right.
That's one where that's going to be an easy interception for Stephon Gilmore because Thomas will not fight for that football.
I wonder what they would have wanted for Emmanuel Sanders. Like, I mean, if you're getting a 4th pick, like, I mean, what do you think?
Oh, at least a 2nd for Sanders?
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You see,
Sanders is so much better than Thomas. I think if you ask anyone around the league.
Well, I think that, as you said, Demaryius Thomas has a reputation for being soft. And we had Troy Brown in studio saying, I mean, the guy doesn't try for some balls and stuff like that. But, I mean,
A second round pick, that seems pretty steep.
Which is why Sanders is still with Denver this morning.
Also, maybe they weren't willing to get rid of him. There's a chance that they might not have been willing to rid themselves of Emmanuel Sanders.
Now, one move I don't understand is the Packers dealt Ha-Ha Clinton Dix yesterday to the Eagles. And that is, the Redskins.
Washington.
Yeah, so the Redskins, if you're the Redskins, obviously you're feeling pretty good about this. Now, both are in their last, or he's in their last year of the contract, but why would you do that? I know you're not going to re-sign him.
The Packers apparently have a young depth at in their secondary that they believe is capable of sustaining a playoff run.
But he played every defensive snap for the Packers this season.
That's the
pretty solid starter.
All I know is the what I've read. I know he's had two interceptions, I believe, and that he is in their best member of their secondary, but they are under the belief that they have young players that can take over.
I'm looking at it. They have a 2017 second-round draft pick, Josh Jones, who played special teams mostly this season, and then they have two undrafted rookies. Those are the three guys.
Yes, they believe in that talent, apparently.
And then, Fred, you said it wasn't going to happen, but
I did.
It did. Golden Tate ended up getting traded to the Eagles, nonetheless, in a very strange... Now, that's the guy that I would have loved to have had as a Patriot. So, you are going to get... it was a third-round pick, I believe, for him. Is that what they ended up trading?
Yes, and apparently, according... The team is furious about it via social media.
Well, I think that he was also a beloved player on that team.
He was. But apparently, since they lost last week, the Bob Quinn is saying that he's going to prepare for the future.
They're 3-4, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not out of it.
Nope.
But they've been close. And then, by the way, that guy that fumbled away the chance to Aaron Rodgers get the ball back this week, and he ended up getting traded.
Ty Montgomery. He was their starting running back last year, lost his job after he got hurt, and is now a kick returner.
Yeah, and people in the locker room were not much into him. And now I wondered why the Lions would trade for Harrison, this nose tackle from the Giants, but they recouped the pick. And they, when they traded Golden Tate, and apparently Quinn has he hasn't given up on the season, but he doesn't believe this team is capable of a long run. So he's trying to get as much draft capital as possible.
Okay.
Yep.
But
all right, Max knows why they let Ha-Ha Clinton Dix go. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, Greg Abadag was talking on Felger and Maz yesterday, saying why he thought they let Dixon go. He said that the DC, the defensive coordinator for the Packers, was an assistant with Rex Ryan, and he's got a similar defense that Dixon wasn't too hip on.
Okay. I mean, he seemed to be effective. I don't think he was slouching this year.
Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler in 2016. I mean, that's not too far ago. I'm thinking he's pretty decent.
Yeah.
The 4 days before you face Tom Brady. Well, 5 days before you face Tom Brady, that's kind of weird.
How do you feel going into the rest of the season with the team you got? How do you feel about Belichick not making any moves?
This team is what it is. They're subpar defensively, and the offense is gaining speed as we move along.
By the way,
Tate is sort of similar to some of the players that they already have.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt. So the Vegas Golden Knights official Twitter account put a picture of the regular season Western Conference champions and the Central Division champs banners and put weird flex, but okay.
Yeah. We were the team that actually went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Thank you for raising those banners.
Well, there's nothing like the competition between Nashville and Los Angeles to get your...
Oh, that is the worst.
All right, here are the headlines.
From the Tom Bear Tire Studio, Boston Red Sox World Series champions. Congratulations from Boston's home of Red Sox fans. WBZFM and HD 985, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station.